Blog Talk Radio.
The Zombie Master.
As well as...
I am a man!
Just uncock himself.
You bastard. I love it, but damn it, you bastard.
Oh, and like I said, this is the betting window where we dive into the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that in the wild world of sports and sports betting. And yes, there will be a lot more sports betting. As if you joined me yesterday, I said this show, the network, will be going through some changes. And this is one of them. We are going to be focusing more on the sports. I really don't have anything lined up. The only thing really lined up today is we have four conferences, two in college, two in the NFL to preview. We have the Pac-12, the ACC, and the NFC East and the AFC East to go over. Other than that, it's pretty much a free-for-all until Christian gets on.
Well, I did hear one thing. The Orioles have rescinded their suspension of that guy. So, Ronnie, do you want to bring up that story while we're waiting?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't say.
Go ahead. You can lead us off on that.
Where to begin? So the Baltimore Orioles had until now was indefinitely suspending their broadcast announcer.
Kevin Brown.
Oh, let's face it, let's call it what it is. Speaking bad about the team's past.
It's a good reason to suspend somebody.
Basically, he called out the Orioles for, he basically said the Orioles over the last couple of years were 0-15. They were not a good team. And they had graphics for it. They had music backed up to back up that graphic. And the next day, the team said, okay, you're suspended for bad-mouthing us. Now, I guess if they're going to cancel people and suspend people for bad-mouthing their teams. Brian, you and I have bad-mouthed the Cardinals and the Mets the last couple of weeks. I guess we're next.
I mean, is it really bad-mouthing them if it's the truth? Like the card, I even said it last night whenever we were testing out equipment and talking about shit. Like, we had such high hopes in St. Louis for the Cardinals this year. We had a really solid lineup on paper, and then it just went to shit. Our season went to shit, and at this point, we should be in rebuild mode. Everybody knew we were going to be sellers. We got rid of a few names. We got a few prospects. Now it's time to rebuild and look forward to the 2024 campaign.
I mean, and the same thing can be said about, I mean, honest to God, if you were a Mets fan, Ryan, and Ronnie, well, you already are, but Ryan, I'll say, you're a Mets fan. You come into the season, you got two future Hall of Famers and two future two medio time over Cy Young Award winners leading off your rotation. Wouldn't you feel pretty damn good about it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be like, holy shit, we're going to really do it this year? And then we shit the bed.
I'll tell you what, though, I did just find this out, and it's pretty exciting because I haven't been to a game yet this season.
Right.
And now I'm starting to eye up the August 17th game.
Why, what's that?
Well, first off, it's WWE night at the ballpark.
We just had that in Citi Field the other night.
And we're playing the Mets.
Yeah. Should be interesting. Because even if you look at Citi Field nowadays, it looks like a bomb scare.
Then I can go to Busch Stadium and talk shit to your team instead of talking shit to you about your team.
I can give you a list of things you can say about them.
Oh, see, now you're just being a good friend.
Well, because you know what it is, you know, and it's like, and Ronnie knows this too, and it's like, I get upset about my team is because I give a damn about this team. I'm not one of these guys that, oh, when they're doing great, I love them. When they suck, I hate them. No,
yeah,
I stick with them when they suck, and I stick with them when they're good.
I'm one of them. I always find the silver line, okay? So, like, our season's turned to shit, but at least our season isn't as bad as any Cubs season from the past 20 years, minus the World Series year.
Right, you know, and...
And if we're being honest about the Mets, I mean, at least you're not the Red Sox.
Man, this would be true. And Dustin's not here to defend himself. Oh, shit. Oh, well.
That's all right. You could just tell him to fuck off.
Yeah, you could find Dustin at, give him a reach around at twitter.com or something.
Oh, no, you can find him at twitch.com/DustinTheNuts.
And if you got an OnlyFans, you can dust his nuts for just a low, low, low price of whatever. But but no.
At this point, you can just donate whatever. I know somebody. Like, he came up to me one day and he was like, "I made $400.05 giving blowjobs." And I was like, "Damn, who gave you the nickel?"
But no. But you know what it is with the Mets and stuff like that. You know, it's like, I've been blasted for being too passionate about my team. But you know what? I've been a fan my whole life. And I've gone through seasons like this. I've gone through seasons where we were untouchable. 1986, nobody could touch us.
Zero I was born, bro. Zero I was born.
Great year. But then it's like I've gone through years when they couldn't draw a dick, you know, and they couldn't field a winning team, even if, well, I don't know what the joke could be for that. Just put a joke anywhere you want. But I look at the future, and the newest guy we already got, the guy we got from Max Scherzer, Luis Angel Acuna, Ronald Acuna's younger brother, he's already starting to talk smack about his older brother, and he's still in AA. He's like, "I can't wait to get up there so I can beat my $100 million brother." You see, that's the kind of guy I want on this team. Guy who's who's a shit talker. We don't have any shit talkers on this team. You know?
Shit talking doesn't really exist in sports these days outside of pro wrestling.
No. Philly's been known to have a few shit talkers. And Chicago Cubs got a shit talker on the mound, but he's injured right now.
There's a difference between being like a trash talker and being a shit talker.
But anyway, no, but the whole point that we're trying to make, what'd you say?
I want to get into this real quick.
Okay, good.
There is a difference between a trash talker and a shit talker.
Right.
A trash talker will run his mouth. A shit talker was Nolan Ryan making you want to rush the fucking mound after it.
What, Robert Ventura?
I was going to say, unless your name was Ventura.
Hey, everybody makes mistakes. But in sports, there is a difference between trash talk and, like, shit talk. Most sports have trash talk, but there's no real shit talk. That's
right.
The thing we're getting pro wrestling. Like, can you honestly see sitting down at, like, a press conference for a fucking upcoming football game and hearing, like, Jalen Hurts say he's going to lay the smack down on someone's Rudy Poo candy ass?
Would love to hear that.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I would love to hear that, too. I would love for these guys to be fucking inventive and put that shit out there and create real rivalries with this team instead of turning professional fucking football and baseball into fucking sarcastic-ball.
Oh, you're right. You're totally right. But the thing is, it's like...
There's trash talkers. I don't think there's any real shit talkers in sports.
No, but the whole bottom line is what I was saying of this. It's the fact that when Kevin Brown was basically given his suspension papers by the Orioles, every radio and television announcer in sports, baseball-wise, came out and supported this guy. Gary Cohen actually cut what would be sounding like a wrestling promo on – I'm hearing myself again. Okay, no, because it was weirding me out. But no, on my Twitter page, he sat there and he pointed his finger at the Orioles management. And he goes, "You screwed over when you fired John Milner, and you screwed over when you did this. There's like 29 other teams that could use this guy's services." And Keith Hernandez was just looking at him like, "Shit, did you really just say that?" Michael Kay went after him. John Sterling went after him. I'm not mentioning the other names. And Ronnie, if you do that, so how we got us drive over to Freehold, and I'll hit you in the face.
I don't know what you're talking about, John.
Fuck you in the neck. But it's like the Orioles is like, they're having a great season. And basically I think they might've just fucked themselves this year. Cause if they don't win, guess what? The fans are going to be like, if our ownership hadn't opened up their big fucking mouths and say that shit about our announced team because we sucked a couple years ago, and they did.
It's now a distraction.
Oh, it's a major fucking distraction.
Yeah.
It's a major fucking distraction. And I'm like, look, I'm not a big Orioles fan. I never was. But I respect an announcer's channel. Like, when I first saw that video, I said, oh, God, what did he say? Something homophobic? Did he say something racial?
I was waiting for that, too. I thought that, too.
I'd say, oh, God, what did he say? You know, what are we going to have to think? And I'm like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, as if you will. And they say, shit. And then I come back to find out he gets suspended. Why? Because he said the Orioles sucked a couple. Well, he didn't say that in those words. But in a nutshell, he's like, the Orioles were terrible years ago.
The Orioles have not been relevant since Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
And the ownership
suspend
is like,
me.
Oh, you...
Suspend me, Baltimore, please.
Although, speaking of Baltimore, yeah, they were one of the buyers from the Cardinals at the trade deadline.
Yes, they were.
They picked up Jack Flaherty.
Yes,
I want to know if Flaherty put out a better performance in his first game with Baltimore than he has in St. Louis.
Well,
you guys there?
I'm here.
Okay, I lost you for a second there. I'm like, what's
going on? I leaned over and my mic, the jack came out of the microphone jack came out of the computer. But no,
it's hard.
All I heard was me stirring someone's drink with my dick.
Well, no, it was funny to see Max Scherzer got lit up in his first appearance in the first inning of his first. As a Ranger, then he settled down and pitched all right. Justin Verlander's been pitching lights out since he came back to Houston, and the fact that Cohen and Billy and Epler both have said, "Oh, well, we'll try to be competitive next year, but we're leaning towards 2025, 2026." So I guess that 3 to 5 year window's out the window.
Here's the thing. If the Mets can't be productive with the core four that they have, then they should blow up the entire team.
Well, supposedly, like I said, I don't know who was what they chose, but Pete Alonso's name was thrown out there. If anybody wanted him, they could make an offer.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Making an offer was like looking at like you were going to be giving up the farm for him.
Oh yeah, from what I like I said, I don't know how many guys they were talking, but they were talking at least 7-8 guys is what I heard.
Which, by the way, you were saying last week, Shohei is still on the table. Is he likely? No, not because the team's going to be bad. But because he's most likely going to stay on the West Coast.
He's going to either go to one of two teams. He's going to either stay with the Angels or he's going to the Dodgers.
No. Because the team that's ramping up right now and getting everything in order is the Giants.
You know what? I heard rumblings about that, but like I said, I don't know how much.
They're the ones that offered, the only other ones that offered Judge any kind of money. They offered him the 10 years, $400 million, and he took less to stay a Yankee.
But technically, wasn't he a Giant for like 30 seconds or something?
No, he never signed any. He never signed anything.
But the way, but to see Twatter or X marks the spot or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
Now, they pretty much, people in San Francisco were like, we got Judge, we got Judge, we got Judge.
So they were close, but then he wanted them to make him an offer to keep him there, and they did.
Oh, I know, but no, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, I think, because I saw just recently, about an hour or two ago, that Kevin Brown's going to be back in the announcing booth, as soon as Friday he's going to be back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, gee, that little suspension didn't last long. Feel pressure much? Was it John Angelos is the owner of the Orioles, I think?
I believe you're right, yes.
I don't want to miss-say a name, but
no,
I think
you're right.
I think he felt a little backlash going, oh, shit, do they really hate me that bad? Yeah. So,
well, I mean, especially with the fact that, like, you had the chance to make everything fine, and now you've kind of put a black cloud over
your season,
your team, and, I mean, you're losing right now to Houston.
But the whole point of the matter is, it's like, he, look, are we saying, did he really say anything that negative about the Orioles? No. Did they suck? Yeah.
No.
As in the words of the great Randy Jackson, that's a no for me, dog.
but you know what it is? It's like, it's really bad when, as an announcer, they really can't say what they truly feel. You know, I mean, they could say something. The only time I've ever seen an announcer get suspended and never be brought back is because that dumbass who said something in Cincinnati during a live broadcast.
Well, I mean, how many idiot announcers have dropped the N-bomb on national television under a hot mic?
Do that. Sorry.
No. Yeah, but you know what it is, and I look at it this way. It's like he's coming back, and the fans are thrilled to have him back, and he's glad to be back, and much respect to him. So that's all I got to say on that, Matt. I'm glad things have straightened themselves out.
So, all right, looking through, so like I said, we were talking about Baltimore. So looking at the odds going in for the divisions, because we're about 50 games away from the divisions pretty much being clinched.
Is it really that close?
Yeah, dude, we're less than 60 days.
You know what it is? I'll tell you what, ever since I turned off the Mets for this season because I just couldn't watch them anymore, I kind of lost track as to when everything's ending.
Well, think about it. September 30th is the last game of the year, roughly?
It's usually around September 30th or off between 9:30 and 10:30, usually. It's usually in that time frame.
Yeah. Look, yeah, because they got to race to October. So, yeah, think about it. We're at least less than 2 months away from ending it, so you got to do the math. You're probably looking at it close to 50 games till we're done. And hello, Christian.
What's up?
Nothing. Just actually talking about the Baltimore announcer getting suspended and that getting rescinded.
For what?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Saying the Orioles. He said the Orioles sucked, and they had a full, like, production behind it, and they suspended him for bad-mouthing the team.
Oh, who gives a shit? I've heard worse.
Well, I've heard worse from better people.
But no, but the whole thing was, it's like the Orioles management thought that he was disrespecting the team, disrespecting the franchise by slamming them and just bad-mouthing them. And if you go to if you go to my Twitter, Christian, after the show, I have the clip that he played, that he actually said what he said. Nothing derogatory. He just said the last time that they played the Devil Rays or Rays or whatever.
No, you can say it. It was the last time they were the Devil Rays, probably.
Devil Rays, Rays, whatever. That the last time they faced them, they hadn't won like in 15 chances or something. They were 0-15 against the Rays, and they were just bad. And they suspended them for that.
And we can all admit the last time the Orioles were ever relevant like this, Cal Ripken was playing for them.
No, they were just an ALCS in 2014.
I stand by. And did how many people? Yeah, and the Mets were in the World Series in 2013.
2015.
I proved my point.
But that's it. The whole point is today, after at around 5 or 6 o'clock, the Orioles said Kevin Brown will be back in the broadcast booth as of Friday, I think. And his suspension has been rescinded, and he'll be back. Big, but he got Yankees broadcasters, Mets broadcasters, broadcasters all over the place. They came to this guy's defense. They're like, oh, if you can't speak your mind during a broadcast about your team and it's a truthful statement, he didn't lie about anything he said. And he got blasted for it.
We have breaking news. Michael Lazen, or Lazine, threw the 14th no-hitter in Phillies history against the Nationals.
You mean Lorenzen?
Lorenzen, there, thank you.
That's the guy they just got from Detroit.
Yeah, he just threw a no-no.
Look, leaves the toilet. Nice.
Yeah, so.
Good for them.
Yeah. Lovely. Whatever. I'll re-upload this on Twitch later. I'm getting some issues on Twitch. I'll upload it later with some gameplay. No big deal. So, all right. So, we're going to dive into... We'll dive into the race for the divisions. Like I said, we're about 50 games away from the race to October. And everything, it looks like every division but one is locked up. Only one is pretty much locked up.
That's Atlanta.
Yep. They're minus 20,000 to win the division, which means you have to bet 20,000 to win 100.
Rhea Ripley's officially off the market. She just got engaged to Buddy Matthews.
Had to steal him from Dominic.
I know somebody in this world that's probably sorry right now. And that's all. I'm going to leave it as that. But anyway.
They're bummed out right now. And I'm just like,
we do not care.
Wait.
La, 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 la.
I just realized. Where's Napoleon Dynamite at?
Oh, we're not going into that.
Not during a live show, anyway.
Thank you very much for Slippy.
That's his purse. He don't know you.
Hold on. Ronnie, I got you.
Dead puppy.
Oh, Jesus.
Puppy.
Nah, Ronnie, you know what I was watching the other day?
What?
You remember that show, The League? The one where they did the fantasy football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to watch that.
Remember when they were singing about Pete's tiny erect dick?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Now, I'm watching AEW. The ref just took a chair shot to the face.
Oops.
Oh, I forgot that's on. I'm watching an alien documentary.
Dude, it's RVD. It's RVD versus Jungle Boy right now.
Yeah, this is going to be a one-off.
Hey, Rob Van Dam's still going with a partially blind eye.
I mean, he's so fucking high right now. It doesn't matter.
No shit. I mean, you know what the saying is, RVD 420.
And look at it this way. If he needs someone to nurse his wound, you ever see his wife or girlfriend?
Yeah, no, we're not. Yeah, both. I've seen both of them. I don't need to know what the hell AIDS-ridden fucking is in that body. Take the blood out of her and make penicillin out of it. Holy shit, you cure the fucking world of cancer.
How do you really feel?
Well,
in fuck.
Stop! He's already dead.
So, all right, listen, hey, before you start, the Yankees are gonna be the dumbest fucking team in all the sports right now. So Ian Hamilton was supposed to start for the Yankees tonight, right?
Yeah.
He pitched a 10 inning. He threw a 10-pitch perfect inning. Guess who they bring in the second inning?
Who?
Severino.
And he just gave up, and he probably got blasted.
Up 3 runs.
Oh, so Christian, this is what he got. This is what RVD's got to go home to.
By the way, all of that. Not just one. All of that.
All right, let me see.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, in all honesty, it's the biggest piece of dog shit that I have ever heard.
No reaction, Christian?
Huh, what was it? I didn't see anything.
It's in the Skype chat.
Oh, let me see.
Oh, we're going to see a 5-star here?
Dummy! Yeah!
Damn.
Yeah, that's what he goes home to.
All
3 of them?
Yep.
Yeah.
Play on, player.
the one of the pink is his. The other two is hers.
Yeah, the one with the tattoo sleeve, that's his main one.
No. The one in the pink is his wife. The other two are her girlfriends.
Damn. I'm gonna start calling him RVDITA. Rob Van Dam digging in that ass.
Well, he is one of a kind.
Rob Van Dam, these nuts.
Damn. It's the wife to me. Yo, she low-key built like a black girl. She eat collard greens.
There's enough silicone in that ass.
Nah, that ain't silicone. That's
that ain't natural.
Nah, that's natural.
That's as natural as a wrestling storyline.
Oh, you.
Christian's got the same view I do on like fake tits. Can I touch them? Then they're real.
Exactly.
Listen, I can say the same thing about Shelly Martinez, and I have.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I've seen that Rob's girlfriend, wife up close. Yeah, that's, wow.
Now the one in the purple, her nose looks like a limp dick. So, yeah.
Let's come from that Triple H tree.
And then the one next to the purple, if The Rock and Blake Griffin had a baby, you get her.
Listen. Rob smokes enough weed. He can make anything look good.
Nah, but look at her. Ronnie, listen.
It looks like Molly Holly had an ass implant with Angelina.
Ronnie, okay, all right, look, I don't give a fuck whoever gets offended by this, Ronnie. Put your black cap on for 1 second.
All right, let me go get my collard greens.
Okay, don't play with me. Now listen, would you bring her to the barbecue?
What do you want?
To go get
Be careful, D might listen to this.
You're talking like a family barbecue or like a friend or a cousin's barbecue.
Look, No, I'm talking like, you know.
Oh, hold on. Are we talking block party barbecue, or are we talking backyard barbecue?
Oh, backyard all day, baby.
No, I'm taking her to the block party barbecue.
What? She's going to get that ass chewed out.
That ass, everyone will be drooling, so I get more street cred.
Yeah, and she look like fucking Pinocchio.
Listen. A plastic, a paper bag does a lot.
Oh,
for you,
damn.
Listen, Christian. You just came back. You forget what's around the Jersey Shore.
Christian left. He's back. He came back.
Say, Christian, you just came back to the tri-state. You forget what's around the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, this is true. Look, you almost made me do my Steve Harvey impression. Ah, hell no. <nah.
laughs> Oh,
yeah,
God. Oh, God, Steve Harvey, man. I love
your ass. I'm going to tell your ass, John.
No, just when he does fit, when he says 100 married men, that be you about that. And he goes, and that's your wife standing next to you, so. Best be time to take an X.
Naked grandma!
Well, who want to see your grandmama naked?
So, all right. So back to what we were saying. Back on topic. So the NL West. Let's face it. The Rockies and the Diamondbacks are pretty much done in the West already.
I thought the Diamondbacks are doing pretty good.
Diamondbacks are... they're 14. Well, what are they now out of the division? They're 10 games back in the division.
Oh, hey.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Mets just took the lead.
At this point, who even cares? I literally.
I do. I need the Cubs to keep winning. They need to win the division so I can get paid.
Yeah. Well. The Mets could beat them, and then they can go undefeated the rest of the year, for all that matter. I just want to shut Stroman up. That's all, even though he's hurt. Oh, speaking of Chicago, Christian, what about you? What are your take on this? We'll go right back to that about Anderson going down after one punch.
Oh, he got his ass busted.
Ronnie, did you see that punch?
Yeah.
Listen, he got up like he was in a Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the funniest thing. It's better in slow motion. You know what I'm saying?
Brian, did you see that punch?
Yeah. I think what made it better is Anderson got knocked out than suspended longer. He ended up getting 6 games and Ramirez got 3.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody created a shirt and they took the picture of Muhammad Ali and put Ramirez, and they put Anderson laying on the mat.
When Anderson got knocked out, his first reaction was
to Chili's.
Nah, did you hear what Emmanuel Acho said about?
No.
He probably had the best troll next to me, of course. He was like, he was ready for the fight, but he wasn't ready for the right.
That's his purse. He don't know you.
look, this has to be probably the worst year I think I've ever seen for Tim Anderson, because, remember, he was already in those marital issues. I think he cheated on his wife. You're already having a such a season in a contract year, and now you get knocked out like that.
I don't know. Last year was pretty bad, too.
Oh, was it?
Oh, boy, one punch. One punch.
He hasn't had a good year since he hit the home run in the cornfields.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that Sox fans all trolled me for. Like, I remember going to the game a couple of days later after that, and they played it on the scoreboard. I'm like, oh, here we go with this bullshit. Then the next day I went, and Luke Voit pretty much put the nail in the coffin and hit a go-ahead home run. And I'm just trolling all Sox fans. And speaking of the Yankees, I got to go on a little rant. This is why Aaron Boone needs to go. Why would you play a guy who has concussion issues since May?
Who's this?
Anthony Rizzo.
He's still. I didn't know he was dealing with concussion issues.
He's on the IL now. He was dealing with. He collided with Fernando Tatis. So there's an excuse as to why Rizzo's been so sucky this year.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he doesn't have to put him out there. Boone needs to go. And I read today, unfortunately, that Brian Cashman will be retained for next year. Fuck.
Yeah, I heard about that too.
Mad Dog Russo is like, nope, he's got to go. But you know who I want to manage the Yankees next?
Oh.
Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting take on the team.
You know why? Because it seems like, you know, a couple of teams have gotten older managers, and it's worked. Houston, you know, I can't necessarily say Tony La Russa with the White Sox. They were winning in spite of him, not because of him. You know, fuck Showalter. I don't like him, so that's what I call him.
Munster that just likes to – I swear to God, if that railing wasn't there, I think he'd keel over.
Or, you know who else I can see the Yankees targeting too? Carlos Beltran.
Yeah. Well, hey, don't forget, a former Met is a manager.
Shut up! I knew you were going to bring up the Romo-Pody.
What happened?
Shut up! You're not bringing up Senior Romo-Pody. The Yankees do not deserve that.
No, what happened?
No, Rojas is the third base coach.
The Yankees do not deserve your senior young rumble pony.
Hey, you be respectful.
Hey, Luis Rojas has got managerial experience. He could be the next Yankee manager.
Ha ha, very funny, motherfucker. That makes as much sense as a Nate Diaz boxing match.
Oh, damn.
After watching that fight, I felt sorry for the people that spent $90 on that horse shit.
Apparently, there were some suspensions handed out after it.
What? The Jake Paul fight?
31 days each.
No, sure.
Well, that's always been the thing. I know Logan Paul almost got into a fight with a fan.
No. Currently under a 31-day suspension.
Oh, that's you don't know that rule?
No.
So there's a rule in fighting, in MMA and boxing, they've done this. After they fight, USADA suspends them for a month and a half, a little bit over a month. So they can't train. So they just heal up. So they heal. It's always been a thing. MMA does it. Dana White, after a fight, will suspend an MMA fighter a month.
Stupid.
No, it's actually to protect them from, say, if they don't get into, like, a actual fight. Like, say, if it's a quick, like, one-punch knockout, they can't just take a fight 2 weeks later and fight.
Okay.
They use it as a way to protect the fighters from themselves for less damage.
Let them fight.
Listen, this is not the Ken Shamrock Gracie days where it was legalized cockfighting.
Oh, but shit.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that 6'5", 444-pound defensive or offensive tackle that's going to play at TCU fighting someone that's the size of, you know, me. Or fight Butterbean.
Butterbean lost a shit ton of weight just recently.
He's down to 303 pounds. But anyway, back to what we're doing.
Okay.
So the Dodgers right now are the favorites at -1200. The Giants are 10-1. And that's pretty much it when it comes to the NL West. Do you think the Giants are 5 games back? Do you think they catch the Dodgers or no?
Nah.
No, I don't think so.
Ryan?
No, they're going to stay 5 or more back.
Okay. The NL Central. The Cardinals and Pittsburgh Pirates are 300-1 to win the Central. Ain't going to happen.
We know.
The Reds are 4-1. The Cubs are +150, but and Milwaukee is -115.
You know what? I'm not counting out the Reds, even though I still think they're probably going to – I think they might falter towards the end of the year, but the Reds have shown me something, and it's not just because of that kid. It's just because they're a scrappy team.
Right now, the Cubs are the only ones with a positive run differential. They're the only team that's scoring in the Central, and they're the only team right now that actually is giving a damn. The Cubs right now are probably the favorites to win that Central.
It's not that.
I don't see the Cubs holding on. I don't think they have enough gas in the tank to go the whole distance.
Okay. The Cubs being on this run that they're on is not natural. There is something supernatural about it.
Yeah.
Christian, do you want to weigh in on that?
About what?
About the Cubs?
The NL Ryan, Central.
Ryan says there's something supernatural going on with the Cubs.
Yeah, probably something in the water. You know, they had one of those funky-ass cake shakes.
They're bottling the St. Patrick Green?
Or something, but no, they're playing well. Like, I can't even deny that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really are.
But do you think they have enough gas to go the whole distance?
No, I don't.
That's what I was saying. I don't think they have enough stamina to make it the whole seat the rest of the
season. I mean, listen. They're going to find some way to make a deal with the devil, and they're going to make their way to win the Central. I can so see that happening. What the hell?
The hell was that?
Did someone say deal with the devil?
Oh, hi, Satan.
Hello, Ronnie.
What a shock. I say your name and you show up. Where the fuck's Saddam with you? You leave Saddam at home in his fucking sex swing?
I left him at home in the sex swing. Well, I'm here because you said deal with the devil.
Well, yeah, this Cubs run is apparently out of the ordinary. I wonder if they made a deal with you.
Chicago Cubs?
No, the Florentine Cubs. Yes, the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I totally made a deal with the Cubs. And there is this one fan who was sacrificing his sibling down by the L. I mean, he followed the rules. He gave me a sacrifice. He said the words. He made the chant. He said prayer. Oof, there I was. And I was just like,
wouldn't you just have accepted a goat?
I would have accepted a goat, but a sibling means more.
Okay, this is creeping me the hell out.
So, I granted it a good cup season. I hope people were smart enough to put some money on this because, you know, I'm behind it now.
Oh, it's not like someone gave that bet away at 6-1 at the beginning of the year.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
Oh, not working this time.
So, yes, there's something supernatural going on with the Chicago Cubs, and I am behind it!
Well, hi there, Satan!
So now I'll go back.
No, I escaped from your fucking trap! You ain't gonna keep me out of here no more! I'm coming up here to fuck with the Cubs!
Not right now, Sal. All
right, why?
I'm busy.
I don't give a fuck.
I'm working for now.
Why don't you get back in here so we can keep on working?
Okay, guys, I'm gonna go.
That was fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christian's Christian's about ready to bail.
Yeah. Like I said, shit is definitely going to be interesting for the upcoming shows.
I told you. Thought it was crazy, and I told you.
So, for the other divisions, we already talked about Baltimore. The only real thing is, does Tampa catch up on Baltimore?
I said at the beginning of the year, I think Tampa was going to fizzle out. Didn't I say that, Christian?
You did. I said it too.
I think we all knew.
But I just don't think anybody saw Baltimore climbing the ladder as they have.
No.
Baltimore's got a lot of prospects that they brought up that are actually performing really well at the major league level.
And you know what? I'll say this. I could see them staying at the top of the AL East for the next 2 or 3 years. Seriously.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, because my one friend, he don't know shit. He was like, yeah, Baltimore is going to be at the top. You know, your run was nice. Get used to the bottle of the AL East. I'm like, oh, so you a dick rider now. You an Orioles fan. Oh, okay.
And then, I mean, Minnesota looks like they're going to lock down the Central. But then the West is the big thing. Is the Rangers and the Astros are pretty much even money. Rangers are a slight favorite of -120, and the Astros are +110.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Astros hold this up? I mean, they're only 2.5 games back, and Texas is does Texas hold this?
Well, now that JV is back with them, I don't see anything stopping them, really.
There's not.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, that's for the price they paid for him and the money they're saving on him, it's like he was on the DL for 6 months.
Did Scherzer start today?
I don't know. I don't really pay attention to Texas.
Oh, I hope he did, because it was Montgomery, and he gave up 2 runs against Oakland. Ouch. Gave up a two-run, a solo dinger, and a sack fly to Oakland to lose 2-0. The Rangers lost. So the Rangers are going to be 1.5 games up if everything holds up tonight in the West. I think Houston fucking takes this division.
But you know what a lot of people are saying? How ironic that Verlander and Scherzer were teammates mere month ago, and now they're facing off against each other for a possible pennant.
Yeah, it's just crazy. What do you know?
How about the fact that DeGrom and Scherzer are teammates again?
Well, you know what? Look, and I've said this before, I don't see DeGrom being Jake of old, because he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to be able to bounce back from this one. I really don't.
No, he's not going to come back until probably he won't be back till the All-Star break.
If he even comes back.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sorry, being on age 30, he just turned 35. He's having a second Tommy John surgery. Yeah, that doesn't bode very well. When JV had it at his age, that was his first time ever having it. You know, DeGrom still thinks he could throw 100-something miles an hour. You're not Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan was a fucking anomaly, man. Nobody's going to ever play like him again.
So there's one thing I want to ask Christian, and then we're going to move on.
All right.
What is with now Major League? So beginning of the year, we were getting not even pitchers reaching the sixth inning. Now we're getting no hitters, 124 pitch complete games, no real use of the bullpen as much for certain teams. What changed?
I don't know, honestly.
Because normally, like I said, normally we would get, oh, well, they go 6 innings, or seven innings to bring the six innings bring the bullpen out to close the game, yada yada yada, like you would normally get. Now you're getting, I mean, what? We've had three no hitters in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, Lorenzen, that kid was a bullpen piece in Oakland a couple of years ago. He was a bullpen. He was a middle relief guy.
Yeah, but I'm saying Lorenzen today, you had literally the trade deadline when they got when Verlander got traded, Houston pitched a no-no. And then you had the perfect game for Gauthier. And that was about a month ago. Like, what's changed?
I have no clue. I really wish I had an answer for that. I really don't know.
Because at the beginning of the year, we weren't seeing we were seeing guys go five innings, and that was it. Like, five, six innings. Now we're getting guys in August and almost September going 124 complete game, which is unheard of.
Oh, it's definitely unheard of. It's just it's one of the flukiest things I've ever seen. But
oh, and I got one thing I want to say this too. I'm going to call this now. If this kid keeps pitching the way he's pitching, I can see him breaking Nolan Ryan's strikeout record.
And who's this kid now?
Strider.
Spencer Strider?
Yes.
I don't disagree with you, but on the one hand, you got to look at it the time, too. Back then, pitchers were a lot tougher.
But I'm saying he's already over.
The game itself was tough.
What was that?
So the game itself was tough.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. And you had guys pitching into deeper innings, but he's going five, six innings and averaging 11 strikeouts a game.
Look, is he an amazing pitcher to watch? Yeah. But here's the thing. Has he ever had Tommy John yet?
No. Well, he's only in his second season.
Right there.
I'm saying he's got to keep this up.
Look, I would love to see someone try to break that record because that's a record that I didn't think ever would be attainable. But my only worry is the way how guys are built now, as like Ryan said, they're tough. The guys back in the I don't want to say olden days, but 25, 30 years ago were built different than the guys are now.
The one thing about Strider, though, that I find different is he's not a I'm going to gear back and throw pitcher. He is a junk ball pitcher. He reminds me a lot of how Maddox used to throw, where he paints corners. His fastball is not even, I don't think his fastball catches 91. Now listen, he can get hurt tomorrow and everything's out the frickin' window. But I'm saying is I've not seen a guy already this year. This season alone, he's got 211 strikeouts and he's probably got five more starts. He's going to probably hit 250 strikeouts for this season alone.
What's the Christian, maybe you can look this up. What's the record for strikeouts in a season? Can you look that up?
I'll look it up. Hold on. I'll look it up.
All right.
I want to say it's Clemens.
No, I'm saying the number. No, not.
I know. I'm saying I want to say Clemens did it, and it was like.
Hell, Gooden did it. Dwight Gooden in his rookie season had a shit ton of strikeouts too. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what the record is. I know it's got to be a pretty high record.
Okay, here we go. Okay, you're not seeing that anytime soon.
What's the record?
Matt Kilroy, 513.
Oh, yeah, that ain't fucking happening.
Okay, so let's go modern. 2001, 11th, Randy Johnson, 372. Nolan Ryan hit 383 in 73.
You see, I don't think numbers like that will ever be matched. I'm sorry. Strider is good, but I don't think any – because you know what it is? No manager wants to keep a guy in there that long because they're afraid they're going to burn him out.
Yeah, they're afraid they're going to fucking hurt themselves.
Yeah, burn him out, hurt themselves, exactly. I mean, look at – when Jake was in his healthiest day, healthy days, he struck out, what, 10 to 12 guys a day every 6 days? And he burned himself out, literally. And physically. Because he still tried to do that. He still tried to throw gas in his late 30s when he's not built for that anymore.
I mean, he's still built for it. It's just repetitive stress.
Right. And then that's why his arm gave out.
You know, why do wrestlers have bad backs? Because we're hitting our backs constantly. It's repetitive stress.
No, you're right. But I mean, if he pitches, what? He's got to pitch. How many years did Nolan Ryan pitch?
I will find out.
And then when you pull up that, also pull up the innings pitch. There's a reason I ask.
Yeah, no. I kind of know where you're going with this. Nolan Ryan went from 66... to 93.
So that's 27 years?
Something like that, yeah.
So and
27. Yeah, 27.
All right, I thought it was 20. I thought I was close with that. The math didn't fail me tonight. But no, and then he probably, I mean, I don't think there's ever been a major league player since him to go past a major league pitcher to go past 15 years or, you know, Scherzer and Verlander are doing it, but they're rare.
And innings pitched, 5,386 in his career.
Now I know what you said, but do you want to maybe possibly pull back on your prediction?
No, because it's so young in his career. The fact that he's averaging 200, he's going to be averaging about 250 per year. Again, I said it too, where if he has a 27 year
career,
he could be in line to being in that, like, that field, because he could be the only one that could get to that level. I'm not saying he's ever going to break it, but he's the one person that could actually get there because he's averaging 10 to 12 strikeouts every time he steps on that rubber.
And you know what? Look, I'd love to see records broken because I could say, oh, I got to see. I mean, I never thought I'd see Cal Ripken break Lou Gehrig's record. I got to see that. I watched that game live. You know, I never thought I'd see somebody hit 70 home runs. I saw him when McGuire did it against the Cubs.
Eh, fuck McGuire.
But I'm just saying, I never thought I'd see a record like that fall.
He stole shit. He was on performance enhancers.
Okay, Mr. Negativity, we get your point. But the point I'm trying to make is, when I want to see a record fall, yeah. Do I think it'll fall? I think we have a better chance of someone hitting 75 home runs than we have someone breaking that record. The pitching record. I could definitely see somebody hitting 75 home runs before someone breaks a strikeout record. I'm just saying. Could be anybody. There's a lot of kids coming up that are fucking freakishly strong. Naturally freakishly strong.
Right, but I'm also saying Strider's only pitched two. This is only his second season, so who knows what
barring any injury, he's got a good shot at it. But like,
yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, we don't know what could happen. We only know that what will happen. And right now, he's got about close to almost 450 strikeouts in 2 years.
like I said, anything is possible. So.
And especially if he hits 300 this year.
I'm sorry. If I'm the Braves, I'll tell you what. If I'm the Braves management, and we're so far ahead in late August, early September, we got the division locked up, I'm resting him.
Yeah.
Because that way he'll be stellar for the playoffs.
Yeah, they might need him.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry. Is it the whole point of getting to the baseball season to get to the World Series? If you're that far ahead, why waste them? Bring up a kid from the minors. Let him pitch. Save Strider for, put him on the IL for 10 days. Let him get 10 days rest so he'll be fresh to come back. I'm just saying.
No, I got you. But, all right, we ready? We got a lot of football to get to.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, let's go to the Pac-4. Because God forbid there's going to be no Pac-12 after this year. Okay, that just broke.
What?
SMU, eyeing membership offer from the ACC.
Huh.
What?
They're going to do a realignment where someone said it the best. They're going to do a realignment where it's going to be 10 divisions. You're going to get an at-large out of all 10 divisions, and you're going to get two from the committee, and you're going to get a 12-team playoff.
All right.
Interesting.
That's what I've been seeing, and then everyone's like, oh, well, this, I saw the Northeast one. I'm like, can we just call it the Big East? Because that literally is all the OG Big East teams in one division. It was like Syracuse, Rutgers, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Virginia. I'm like, can we just call it the Big East? That's what I'm looking at right here. But, yeah, so, all right, Pac-12, we'll start from the bottom and work our way up with Stanford. Their over-under is 2.5. Oy. And they're 300-1 to win the division. Christian, what do you think?
Who cares?
Well, enlighten me.
This is Stanford?
Yeah. The only team not getting picked.
I mean, they're inconsistent because they show waves and they show flashes of being good at times, but they sometimes play down to the competition. I don't know if they'll win the division because I just think the strongest talent in the division. But, yeah, so all the teams who file for realignment, they don't leave for the Big Ten this year, do they?
Next year.
Okay. What's the under at?
2.5, and their non-schedule conference is Hawaii, Sacramento State, and Notre Dame.
Tough. I'll take the over, but not by a lot.
I think they'll win 2 games. I got the under.
Yeah.
Ryan, what do you think?
I'm going to take the under.
Okay. Next on the list, the Arizona Wildcats. Bringing back 8 on offense, 3 on defense. Their non-conference games are Northern Arizona, at Mississippi State, and home against UTEP. Their over-under is 4.5, and they are 150-1 to win the Pac-12. I don't like Arizona. No bear down. I have them winning 4 games. They're going to lose to UTEP. I'm going to call that now. Week three against UTEP. They're losing against UTEP.
Don't listen to him, because anytime he says something's going to happen, the opposite happens. Don't listen to him, listeners.
And they're coming off of a game at Mississippi State. They're going to be tired.
Don't listen to him.
Well, what are you taking then?
Ain't nobody care. No one cares.
Brian,
what is it?
Actually, it's five. They're 55-1 to win the division.
Take the over.
Okay, so you have them going bowling. All right. All right, Arizona State, the Sun Devils. They have they're 151 to win the division there, 4.5 over under their non-conference schedule. Southern Utah, Oklahoma State, Fresno State. And they're bringing back five on offense and defense. No Herm Edwards because he got fired last year. They're going to lose. I got them. They're probably not going to win Fresno or Oklahoma State. Give me the under.
Yeah, I'm taking the under.
Under, yeah.
All right. John, did you want to throw your 2 cents in there, or are you good?
I'm good.
All right. Next, we're going to Cal. The Golden Bears bring back 8 on offense, 10 on defense. Their over-under is 5. They're 60-1 to win the division. They play at North Texas, home against Auburn, and home against Idaho.
Who's the hoe?
Yeah, Idaho. Over-under's 5. There were 4. They're going to probably win. I got them winning 5 games. I got them pushing. Christian?
Yeah, I'll say 5.
Yeah. All right. Now here's the interesting game. Or the interesting team. Colorado. The Buffaloes. There is no over-under on the board, but they are 50-1 to win the division. Their non-conference games are TCU, Nebraska, and Colorado State. They bring back 4 as of right now on offense, 2 on defense. That could change. And they're at TCU to start. They are 50-1. They're not going to do good this year. Brand new team, TCU, at TCU, at the Horned Frogs. I think game day is going to be there, right?
No, they're going to Charlotte for North Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Fox might be there then.
Yeah, Fox is going to be there.
Yeah, Yeah, they're going to get blown out. I have them winning 2 games from last year when they only won 1.
Nah, they're not winning 2. Nah, I'm taking it over. I say they go at least 5-7 in the first year. Yeah, they have more of a microscope on them this year because of who's coaching them, but it's going to take them a full year to mess with one another. You don't have success right out the gate.
Yeah.
Who's coaching them?
Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders is a college coach now?
He's been a coach over at
Jackson State.
Jackson State, and he actually was doing really well. He literally grabbed everybody in the transfer portal that was from Jackson State that transferred to Colorado.
Interesting.
Right now, they actually had to take, it looks like they took down the over-under, but Vegas is scared thinking that they're going to actually do well this year and they're going to fucking have to eat all that money. I've been reading a lot of articles about that. But, all right, let's go to Oregon, the Ducks. Bringing back 5 on offense, 6 on defense. Their over-under is 9.5, and they're 33-1 to win the division. Their non-conference games are Portland State, at Texas Tech, and Pigfuckers Anonymous of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big thing is for Oregon, they're bringing back Bo Nix, which is their big thing. I have them winning 10 games and going over.
I'm going to take the over as well. I think this could be this year's TCU. Watch out for them. Dan Lanning, going to be more comfortable, second full year as a head coach. And Bo Nix had the best year of his collegiate career last year. So I want to see how he builds off of that. But defensively, they got to tighten some things up. I know they were without Kayvon last year. But, they have to play better on that side of the ball, because for as many points as they were scoring, they were giving up that same amount of points as well.
So here's the big thing on their schedule. They play at Stanford at the end of September, at Washington in October, and then home against Cal and USC in November at night.
Where's the USC game?
It's in Eugene.
Oh, they have an edge there.
Yep.
Here's the thing. That's one of the toughest places to play in college football.
Also, let's face it, going from Southern California and the Rose Bowl up to Eugene, Oregon in the end of October, or actually, no, the beginning of November, where it's going to be like 50 degrees.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not used to it. Yeah. So what are you taking the over? Ryan, what about you?
What's the over-under?
9.5.
I'm going to go under.
Okay. I don't know about you, Christian, but this is one of my teams that are that is in the finals.
Who, Oregon?
Yeah.
I can see it.
All right, next, speaking of Oregon, let's go to the State College and talk about the Beavers. The Beavers are 8.5. They're 11-1 to win the conference. And they're they bring 7 on offense, 5 on defense. Their non-conference games are at San Jose State, UC Davis, and San Diego State.
What are you, Elmer Fudd now?
Today, Junior! And again, notable games on this. Stanford at home, Washington at home, and at Oregon. Though Civil War is in Eugene. They don't play a lot of teams that they can take out. The warm weather teams in California, they don't play in Oregon. They play in Oregon early in the year, so that's not an advantage for them.
Yeah.
Ryan, you're getting a little echo.
Yeah.
I was on mute, buddy.
Oh, that might be why. I was hearing Christian echoes.
Yes, we was.
How do I sound now?
They're fine now. It was because Ryan was on mute. We're toying with some new stuff.
Stop cock blocking, Ryan.
their over under is 8.5. I got them winning 7 games. Christian, over under 8.5.
This is Oregon State.
Yep, the Beavers.
Under.
Okay. Ryan?
All
right, time for the UCLA Bruins. They bring only 3 people back on offense. They bring 7 back on defense. UCLA is over under is 8.5. They are 14-1 to win the conference. And their non-conference games are Coastal Carolina at San Diego State and North Carolina Central. I mean, you're not wrong. They don't really have an advantage or disadvantage on any of these games. Everything's put fine for them. I have them winning 9 games.
This is who?
The Brewers. The Brewers.
The UCLA Bruins?
Yep, the Bruins.
I mean, I think they'll be relevant because of the coach. I'll say under slightly. I think they're going to miss DTR, but I think Zach Charbonnet is coming back for another year, right?
I got nothing on here that he's back. What's he play?
Yeah. Running back.
Nope. Two new running backs. Carson Steele and Keegan Jones.
Yeah. They'll run. They're going to be a run-heavy team this year until the quarterback can
It's a freshman quarterback, too.
Yeah, so I'm going to take the under. I think this is going to be a struggling year for them.
My thing is they have Coastal Carolina first, and the spread is 16. I don't trust that game. That game is a big question mark to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a night. And it's a Pac-12 after dark game. But all right, let's go to the USC Trojans with Caleb Williams. USC brings back 6 players on offense, including the reigning Heisman winner. 8 players on defense, and their non-conference games are San Jose State, Nevada, and Notre Dame. Like I said, the one game that's very interesting in this is the game at Oregon towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA is pretty much plus 150. Their over-under is 10.
I'm taking the over.
Over.
Okay, why did I just hear myself echo?
Yeah, that...
Not me.
Not me. I don't have anything on.
Not calling back.
No, you're good. I don't know. I don't understand why he keeps doing that.
Nah, but I'm taking the over for them. Yeah, they're going to be without Jordan Addison, but if anybody can put together offensive talent, it's Lincoln Riley. I think he's the best offensive-minded guy in college football. But there's going to be more tape now on Caleb Williams, so I don't think he's going to have as strong of a year as he did in 2022. And what's the one knock on a whole bunch of Lincoln Riley teams? They're great offensively, but they struggle defensively. So, you know, that's going to be the knock on them. And until they get that defense right, they're not going to win a championship. That's the only thing Lincoln Riley needs. I think Lincoln's a top-5 coach in the country. You saw what he did at Oklahoma. I mean, he developed. He knows how to develop quarterbacks. You saw what he did with Baker Mayfield. He wins a Heisman. You saw what he did with with Kyler Murray. He wins a Heisman. They both go back-to-back number one in the draft in back-to-back years. Made Jalen Hurts into more of a quarterback. You know, he kind of gets a little bit of credit from me for really showing Jalen how to be more of a pocket guy. Because he wasn't that when he was at Alabama. He was strictly a leg. He was strictly a guy who ran and used his legs. And now, you know, he can throw from the pocket. You're seeing that transition in the NFL now with the Eagles. And now Caleb Williams. I mean, three guys have won the Heisman under Lincoln Riley. That really stands out.
Right, I agree with that. I have them actually going over. They won 11 last year. I have them winning 11 again this year. I think they don't get – I personally do not think they will make the playoffs this year because I have them losing to – actually, I might have them actually losing to Oregon. So I have them making the conference game. I have the conference game being Oregon and USC again. In Vegas. Roy, what about you?
Under.
Okay. All right, the Utes of Utah bring back six, including Cam Rising, who might actually not be starting week one, which is because he's got a leg injury right now. Seven on defense, and they open up their shit with Florida. They're at Baylor and Weber State. Their over-under is 8.5. If Cam Rising is hurt and is not starting this game, Florida's going to beat them again.
Not in Utah.
You're going to start a true freshman as your backup.
Yeah, yeah.
Even in Utah, I think Florida's going to have a team that's going to come out and is going to be a run-heavy team. They are going to beat – it's going to be body punches in Utah. They shouldn't be 9-point dogs either in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Utah's going to win nine games. I have them winning 8 under.
It seems like every time you count Utah out, they find a way to creep themselves back in. And, I mean, with a healthy Cam Rising, this is a tough team to beat. I'm going to take the over because Kyle Whittingham knows how to work with what he has around him. And I think that's going to be key.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, I'm going to take the over also.
Okay. Keep this moving. Going to Washington, the Huskies. Bringing 7 back on offense, including Penix Jr., their quarterback, 7 on defense. And their out-of-conference schedule is Boise, Tulsa, and at Michigan State. There's an interesting game. Washington's over-under is 9.5. I have them beating Boise in the opener. They don't have a favorable schedule, in my opinion. I have them winning 9 games and just missing out because of the loss to Oregon. That's the tiebreaker that gets Oregon in over Washington.
Yeah, Washington's going to be a tough team this year. I mean, they were pretty entertaining last year. Michael Penix, I think him moving from Indiana to Washington was probably the best thing he could have done because look at how he's flourished as a football player. I think more people are beginning to watch him now than they did during his Indiana days.
Yep. What over under, what are you taking for 9.5?
I'm going to take the over. I think they're going to be a team to watch this year.
Okay, do you have them making the title game?
No, I have a rematch of last year's.
You have Utah, USC?
I do.
Okay. Ryan, what about you?
I have the over, and I think they're going to surprise everybody. I think they're going bowling.
Oh, they'll go bowling.
No, I think I'm telling you, it's going to go over, and I bet you this.
So you have Washington making the Pac-12 title game.
For sure.
Okay. Final one, we'll make this real quick. Wazoo, other than Cam Ward coming back for their offense, there's 5 on defense. No one really gives a shit. There's no one special on their non-conference games at Colorado State, Wisconsin, and Northern Colorado. Their over-under is 6. I have them winning 6 games and going bowling. Christian?
Ain't nobody care.
Yeah. Ryan?
Under.
Okay. Christian, who's your Big 12 title? Who do you have winning?
The Pac-12, you mean?
Pac-12, sorry.
USC. I think they do it this year.
Okay. I have Oregon winning.
Okay.
Ryan, what about you?
Give me Washington. See if they can do it this year.
Okay, so it's kind of a split. All right.
There's a lot of hungry players coming back.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. This is,
and that's going to make more of a difference than I think people are going to give it credit for, because we also need to take into consideration is how many of these returning players are seniors.
Right. All right.
How many of these guys is this their last season?
No, you're absolutely right.
I think that they're going to fight hard, and they're going to fight hard all year.
Okay. Do you want to do the – we can run through the East real quick in a little bit. Did you want to do – if we do it fast, do you want to run through the Big 12?
Yeah, we can do it quick.
All right. I'm not even going to really do – if you guys want to know non-conference score, like, games for this.
I think just give us teams and odds.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. If you guys want to know who they're playing, I'll let you know. But the Big 12 right now, pretty much the final year of this, because Texas, Oklahoma, and pretty much everybody else gets more new teams. So we get some real shakeup in the Big 12 again. But, all right, so first on the list, West Virginia, 90-1 to win the Big 12, 5.5. Christian,
under.
You got under?
Yeah, I'm taking an under.
I agree. I agree with that. Cincinnati, first year in the Big 12, 60-1 to win the division, 5 over under. I have them going under. New coach, new surroundings, new teams.
Yeah, I agree. Under.
Under, yeah.
Yep. All right, same thing. New team coming from the AAC, Houston. They're 100-1 to win the division. Their over-under is 5. They're going to get the doors blown off of them against UTSA. Give me the under on Houston.
Yeah, under.
Under.
BYU. 60-1 to win the Big 12. 4.5. You guys got in because of Zach Wilson, and have fun winning 3 games.
Is that their over-under is 3?
It's 4.5.
4.5? Okay. On behalf of me and Christian, I would just like to say,
ain't nobody care.
Don't nobody care.
As in the words of the you were saying for BYU,
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. And for some fucking reason, they're speaking Vietnamese.
All right. Next. Iowa State. There actually was no – Vegas did not put an over-under out for them. They're 25-1. This is actually a team that I will actually give their non-conference for. Iowa State, their non-conference games are against Northern Iowa. Iowa, like always, the Cy-Hawk. Just hopefully there's no betting on the Cy-Hawk game. And at Ohio, they went 4-8 last year. They'll do it again. They're going to win 4 games.
4 games.
Christian, I'm going to set the over-under at 3. Does Iowa State win? Iowa State.
I mean, here's the crazy thing. They have a good coach. I like Matt Campbell, but, you know, they're rebuilding.
They don't have no Brock Purdy.
Nope. Or Brees.
Or Brees Hall, yeah, right? And I just picked up his rookie card.
Nice.
From an old pack. All right. So next, UCF, the champions in their own right mind. 28-1 to win the Big 12. 7 is their over-under. Again, new team, new rules, new conference. They'll go bowling, but they'll hit under. They'll go 6.
I can see that.
That sounds fair.
Why am I?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to call back.
Okay.
Yeah, let me try that.
Come on, Ottavino. Blow this fucking lead. You suck, you piece of shit. You should have stayed with the Yankees.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good. All right. Time to go with the mullet. OK State, 28-1 to win the conference. 6.5 is the over-under.
I'm going to say on.
Pistols up. I think I got them winning 7. Ryan?
I said over.
Oh, okay.
We got to go.
Yep. All right. The Baylor Bears. Fact that they have a black bear on the sideline at all times, I would not want to fuck with this team.
Why I gotta be a black bear?
Yeah, dude, what's wrong with black bears? They're super fucking friendly and nice.
Have you seen a black bear on the sidelines of a football game?
Fucking grizzly.
Thank God!
Grizzly bears, like, yeah, those are aggressive. Black bears are, like, scared as fuck of us.
It's still a freaking, dude, it's like Bevo.
If you're gonna be a bear, be a grizzly.
It's like Bevo, a freaking 1,500-pound fucking bull.
Yeah, it's just a little bear.
Oh, yeah, just a little bear, right? Okay.
and
Lizzo is a little creepy.
That movie was a little rapey.
Hey, at least you didn't take a banana and put it in a sex worker's vagina and tell your backup dancers to eat it. Allegedly.
No, but you know that scene from Not Another Teen Movie?
Banana Splits?
Based on me.
Christian, if you don't know what we're talking about, I'll explain it when we're off the air.
Yeah, please do.
That's some white people shit.
Yeah. All right.
White shit.
That's some white people shit. All
right, so Rock Chalk, Kansas, they're 40-1 to win, over under 6.
I'm gonna take the over. I say they can win 7 games. I don't know if they'll be as strong as what they were last year, but Lance Leopold has this program headed in the right direction.
Ryan?
I'm going under.
I got them actually going six. I got them winning 7. So over.
Yeah, same here.
You got me fucked up with that fucking Lizzo backup dancer sex worker comment. Like,
oh, I already know. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Don't get me started on that.
Hey, hold on. Sidebar real quick. Was it a peeled banana or an unpeeled banana?
Ryan, hang up.
Peeled.
So it was like actually like the banana.
Yeah, ring.
Okay, yeah, that's gross. So I'm gonna say, like, if the banana wasn't peeled yet, like, I don't see a problem. Just peel the fucking banana.
If I had a dollar every time I heard that, I have $1. Oh, God.
Should have hung up.
All right, TCU, 10-1, or 14-1 to win the conference. They're over-under 7.5. They got that big boy at right tackle playing this year.
I'm going to take the under because they're losing quite a few pieces from last year's title team. You know, no Max Duggan, and he willed that team to a national championship last year. There's no Quentin Johnston. There's no Kendre Miller. And those are three key pieces of what they wanted to do. There's no Trey Hodges Tomlinson, the nephew of LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah.
There's no Dylan Horton, so it's going to be tough replacing those guys.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is no Duggan. I have them taking a step back and winning 5 games. I don't think they go bowling this year. I think they're going to come out strong against Colorado, though. Brian, what do you think?
Under.
Okay. Texas Tech, 10-1 to win. 7.5 is your over/under. I have them going under, winning 7 games.
Under.
Christian, under. Rye, what do you got the Red Raiders?
Under.
All right. K-State. 6.5 to win the Big 12, and also at 7.5 to win the division. K-State's got one of the most dominant home fields. But with that being said, I think they go over, but they're not going to make the Big 12 title game. What about you, Christian?
Who do I have making the Big 12 title?
No. It's K-State, 7.5, over-under.
I'm going to take the under because they're going to miss Deuce Vaughn this year.
Fair. Right?
Under.
Okay. And now Oklahoma, 9.5, 3-1 to win the Big 12. Over. I have them winning 11 games.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Ryan?
I'm with you.
And Texas, 9.5 even money to win the Big 12. Over. I have them winning 12 games.
Yeah, I have them winning 11. I actually think they win the Big 12 this year because coming into the year, they have the best roster on paper. You know, there's still a little bit of uncertainty with Oklahoma. I think they're going to be better this year. But Texas, you know, they really didn't lose a lot. Bijan Robinson, DeMar Bion, Overstone are two guys that they're going to miss. But, you know, they have the tight end. Yeah, let me look his name up. Let me see. There we go. Big 12. Yeah, when I preview this, you know, they're going to be without DeMarvion Overshawn, but, yeah, I think they have everything in place to win this conference. Quinn Ewers is back.
Yep.
Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver, is back. And then Shatavian Sanders, the tight end, is back, and all 5 starters on that offensive line return. Defensively, they improved last year. They made a lot of strides, but 6 starters return from 2022, and they're going to be one of the top defenses in the Big 12 again. I like Texas.
Yeah, I like Texas too. I think the fact that it goes right to the Red River for the final game in the Big 12, for the fact that they move on to the final out of the Big 12, it's a good thing for the sport.
Yeah.
Ryan, what about you?
I'm with you.
Okay. I was going to say, where the hell were you?
I was yawning.
Oh, okay. Sorry, hold on. Okay. All right. So you have Texas, I have Texas, and Ryan, who do you have winning the Big 12?
Texas.
All right, time to move to the NFL. And we're going to the East. And, all right, where do we want to start?
Dealer's choice.
All right, let's start off with the New York Jets.
Hmm.
Their over-under is 9.5. And they're projected right now to be second in a wild card spot.
Uh, I say under, even though they have a lot of momentum going in. I still say under.
Christian?
I can see them winning 9 games, 10 tops. I think they are a wild card team. The Jets have problems on this offensive line right now. It was glaring in the Hall of Fame game last week, and it's been glaring in practice right now. And they have a tough start to this season. You got to start with Buffalo, then you go to Dallas, then you play New England, then you play Kansas City, then you play Philly, then you play Denver. And then I think down the stretch within those first 8 games, you also play the Chargers. 5 or 6 of those teams I just listed made the playoff last year. 2 of them were in the Super Bowl. But I think the key for the Jets this year, Aaron Rodgers can't throw the ball more than 30 times. You know, I think they're going to run the ball, lean on the running game a little bit more. He'll still take shots down the field because he's more than capable of doing it. I was actually at Jets camp a couple of weeks ago, and I was impressed with what I saw. Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are already on the same page with one another.
You see, that's what I was going to ask you, Christian. How do you see this offensive thing gelling with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you know, having all the experience he does? Do you think it'll hurt or help? It can only help them, right?
Yeah, it could only help them. But you also have to realize, John, he's older now. He's pushing 40 years old. So they can't depend on him to take games over with his arm like he did all those years in Green Bay. So they're going to run the ball. They're going to use the slot receiver a lot. Randall Cobb, this is why they got him. You know, they're going to use the tight end, Uzoma. And, you know, he's going to take a shot or two down the field with Garrett Wilson. And I don't think people realize the importance of running the football. Yeah, it's a pass-happy league, but running the football, it draws defenders into the box, and then you're able to use your play action and take a shot down the field.
Who's the guy they got from the Packers?
They got 2 of them, Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb.
Well, Lazard's a wide receiver, no?
Yeah, both of them are.
Oh, they both are? So, I mean, with that and then them being familiar with how Rodgers is, that can't hurt them.
No, it can't hurt them. And that's the thing. You know, you want to surround your quarterback who's coming to a new team with pieces you know he can work with. This is what Tampa Bay did with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. What did they do? They got him Rob Gronkowski. They know that was old reliable for him over the middle and in the red zone. And Lazard had a pretty good year with Aaron Rodgers last year because he became the number one after they traded Devontae Adams from the Packers to the Raiders. But, yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers comes – this is one of the better situations that I think Aaron Rodgers has come into in his entire career because – he's going to have a top 5 defense that's going to get him the ball. He really didn't have that in Green Bay.
Okay.
But like, here's the thing. And this is something I was trying to say for what it was. But when it comes down to it, the Jets, Rodgers is going to be put in there not to lose games. He doesn't have to go out and win games like he did in Green Bay. He has to go out and make sure he does not lose games, though.
What do you mean he doesn't have to? What do you mean by that?
So, like, with Zach Wilson, when he was there, if the Jets had a lead, he did not – he would throw an interception and would pretty much be the reason they lose the game.
Yeah, and now they have more of an experienced guy. But my thing with Aaron Rodgers, just at this point in his career, because you remember, Ronnie, I said the same thing last year about Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. He can't take over games anymore. If he throws the ball, Tom, last year, if he threw the ball more than 35 times, they lost. Did you notice that? They had to lean on that running game, and I think that's going to be key for the Jets this year. Lean on that running game. You know, Aaron doesn't have to take games over. He just doesn't have to lose the football game.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Right. Didn't we get the, what's his name back? Petty? Isn't he back? Who was the one we lost early last year? That running back we lost last
year. Breece Hall.
Is he back in camp or no?
He's on the pub list right now, but he's back.
He's on the what list?
The physically unable to perform list.
Yeah, the pup.
So he's still hurt then?
That doesn't mean anything. It's just, okay, he's on there, but he's going to be ready for...
Week one?
Possibly ready for week one. But even then, the rumors is they might get Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
And if they get that, that's going to be a... It's just, there's a lot. There's a lot that could happen. At the same time, it's one of those things where do the Jets' defense show back up?
Well, what's his name? It's just got a fresh off a new contract, so I don't know.
Quinn, look, Quinn and Will, everybody can say Sauce is their best defensive player. I won't dispute it. I won't disagree with it. But it starts with Quinnen Williams because look at what he did. He had the Jets' top stats on a top four defense last year. If Quinnen had kept it going, we could talk about him being defensive player of the year last year.
Wasn't he an all-pro last year too?
Yeah. I mean, look, I love his motor. He's nasty. He plays with the mindset of an offensive lineman because the purpose when you're playing in the trenches is to get lower than the man in front of you. And if you get lower than the man in front of you, you're going to win your battle. Because I remember last year, he was doubled. It was a game against the Bengals. He was doubled, and he found a way to slip through and spin and get a sack of Joe Burrow. So he's going to be a force. Once again, like Quinnen Williams, them signing him to that contract extension, that was their first win of this season because he's absolutely huge for them.
No, you're right. All right, what's my
let me give me my prediction real quick. So I've also been doing some other stuff. So I actually have the Jets winning 10 games. I have a metric that I've been learning with, and it's if a team is under, or if a team is between 2.5 on each end, it's a toss up. So it's a half a win. If it's 3.5 to 6.5, or 3 to 6.5, it's a likely win, like a loss, a quarter of a game, or 75% of a game, and then 1 and 0 if it's over 7. I have the Jets right now at 10 and a quarter wins. So for me, I have them going over. Really, it's interesting because it puts them in the same limelight as Miami and Buffalo, in my opinion.
Right.
But speaking of Miami... actually, Ryan, what do you have the Jets at?
I'm going over.
Okay. When it comes, and then Miami, their over-under is going to be 9.5.
Under.
Christian, what do you think?
You talking about Miami? All right, I'm echoing again. Hold on. Here, I'm going to try this again. Hold on.
All right,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm still here. It's...
I don't know what it is. Because
I'm hearing you. I've heard Ryan reverb. I've heard Christian. I've heard myself.
I know Ryan's playing around with some stuff, so I just...
Oh, yeah, no, this one's not me. I got all my shit set.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's the phone, if it's...
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll finish this show, and then we'll figure it out.
Okay, now, who are we talking about?
Miami.
What's the over-under?
9.5.
It all depends on the health of Tua Tagovailoa. Because if he's healthy, this is an 11-win football team. So right now, I'm going to say even at 9. We already know what we're going to get from their offense. They have one of the best duos of wide receivers in the league. Tyreek Hill on one side. And then as a defender, you worry about taking away Tyreek. And then you got to worry about Jalen Waddle, right? But again, like I said, it all depends on what Tua shows up and can he stay healthy? Like that's been the wild card for them. Defensively, I was really looking forward to seeing Jalen Ramsey play, but he's going to be out until December. But I think they're still going to hold it down. This is one of the more complete teams in the league because they can make you one-dimensional. They can punch you in the mouth. But, yeah, I'm going to say 9. I'm going to say even right now.
All right. I'm kind of in the same boat. If Tua stays healthy, I have them winning 10.5 games. Or I have them at 10.25, same as the Jets. So that would be an over for me. If I was betting this, the question is though, this is an honest to God pass for me because I don't trust Tua to not stay healthy. But if I had to say I'm going to bet it, I have the over. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to take the over.
Okay. You're saying under,
Yeah, I'm under. I'm under on that one.
All right, New England, their over-under is 7.5. So I have them projected at 7 wins.
I think they're going to stay. I think they're going to stay pat on that.
This is a lean under, no bet for me, though. Christian, what about you? What do you think?
Whoever thought we'd see a time where the Patriots would be considered the worst team in the AFC East. Remember, they ran this division for 2 decades at one point. But times have changed. And to be honest with you, I just don't think Bill Belichick is adapting to the game. You need at least one possession receiver, and he's still thinking he's stuck in the Brady days because they only have speedsters. You know, they don't have that guy that can go up and get the football. You know, I think their woes would have been solved if they had signed DeAndre Hopkins. You know, I think he would have been the perfect weapon for Mac Jones, and he would have mentored him because Belichick just has that way of doing what? Working with veterans and bringing the best out of them. Look at what he did for Randy Moss all those years ago. The formula for New England now is going to be the same. They're going to run the ball, they're going to do it with defense, and they're going to do it with special teams, and I see them winning 7 games.
And, Ryan, what do you think?
I don't care on this one.
All right, next, we're going to Buffalo. Projectively, their over-under right now is 10.5. If I go by my formula projected, I have them winning almost 12 games.
Oh, so, they're definitely going over that in my book.
Here's the thing. With this projection, you can't really have 3 teams over 10 wins. It's almost near impossible for 3 teams because of how the divisions are to have 10 wins in 3 teams. Unless New England like finishes like almost like with 5 wins. I think Buffalo takes a little bit of a step back. And I think Vegas has projected them a little bit too high. Josh Allen, to me, showed his flaws without Dable.
No, not necessarily. I'm going to stop you right there because from the first week probably until the Kansas City game last year, which was what, week 7, I want to say,
I thought
Josh Allen was the best quarterback in the National Football League because – like, he was just, it looked like he hadn't really missed a beat. Josh got hurt last year, and I think he was more hurt than he was letting on. But you saw his toughness on display, because after he hurt that elbow, he just wasn't the same. Josh Allen was the front runner to win MVP last year until that Jet game that they lost here at MetLife. You know, I'm going to give Buffalo the benefit of the doubt. Ronnie, you want to continue or you want me to go?
The last thing I'm just going to say is I think they're going to take a step back. I could still have them making the playoffs, depending on what my other projections are. As much as I'm projecting them to win 11, I have them only winning 9 games.
I mean, last year I thought was one of their best shots to make the Super Bowl. You know, you go get Von Miller, because you saw what Von did to put the Rams over the top, right? And with DeMarcus Ware, congratulations to him, he just made the Hall of Fame, was just inducted into the Hall of Fame. And what DeMarcus Ware was doing for Von Miller when he signed with Denver, that's what Von is now doing for Gregory Rousseau. So I'm seeing that same type of mentorship, that same pattern. But what I was saying was, yeah, you know, Josh Allen was the favorite to win MVP until he got hurt last year. And I think that elbow was giving him more problems than he was letting on. So that's number one. Two, you lose Von Miller. And Von Miller was the architect of your pass rush, right? Because of him, everybody on that front seven thought that they could get home to the quarterback. Once he was gone, you saw the lack of a pass rush, and it caught up to him in the playoffs because Joe Burrow left with too clean of a jersey for my liking. Why do you think Cincinnati was able to just march down the field on them? Because they gave Burrow all day to throw. But lastly, you know, I just don't think Buffalo was able to flip that switch. They're almost seeing their teammate die on the field, and DeMar Hamlin. You know, that's tough. I just don't think they were ever really able to regroup. They kind of had to keep it moving. And, you know, I think this offseason kind of did them some good. But the problem I have with Buffalo, they depend on Josh Allen way too much. Because I remember a game last year against Miami. He was their leading rusher, and he threw the ball 63 times. There has to be some type of balance. Now, look, I still think Buffalo is the best team in this division due to the simple fact they have the best player and they have the best coach, Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. And I think that's going to be more than enough to catapult them to winning their fourth AFC East title in a row. I like Buffalo. I think they win 12 games this year. If they can run that ball and they can take some pressure off of Josh, watch out. This is going to be a deadly team, because if you notice, teams load the box to stop Josh Allen. You know, this is why I keep saying they need to go and get Dalvin Cook, because he will provide balance. Or go get Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. It's interesting to see what they get.
But I'll say this, though. Josh Allen, to me, I think this is a make-or-break year for them. Look. Josh played he's been playing at an MVP level every year. I remember his breakout year in 2020. He would have won MVP that year if Aaron Rodgers didn't do what he did in Green Bay, right? Had another great year in 2021. He gets paid in 2021. Last year, not the best, but he wasn't the worst. You know, I think, honestly, if Buffalo doesn't at least make the AFC Championship game, they could make changes. Sean McDermott could be out of a job.
Yeah, that's interesting to think of. Huh. That's definitely interesting to think of. Think about.
Yeah.
Ryan, what about you? What do you think?
I think they'll take over.
Okay.
Because my thing with Buffalo is they have the most experienced roster, you know, in that division. I mean, they've kept the majority of that core. The only thing that concerns me is them losing Tremaine Edmonds, because he was the quarterback and the catalyst of that defense. And it's tough to replace a guy in the middle of the defense of his caliber. But Von Miller's probably not coming back until week 8, week 9. And looking at Buffalo's schedule, I know they play Cincinnati, which is going to be a really emotional game because it's in Cincinnati. I know they have a game with the Eagles. They have a game with the Chiefs. And they have a game with the Chargers. And I think they play Denver, if I'm not mistaken. And what do all those teams I just listed, what do they have, Ronnie?
What? The altitude.
Well, they all have the quarterbacks. You know, quarterbacks that can extend the plays and make things happen with their feet. This is why you got Von Miller. Or they have guys that can just carve you up from the pocket. And then they also have a game with the Chargers as well late in the season.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, Von Miller's coming back at the perfect time.
You're not wrong there.
But, yeah, I think Buffalo wins this division again. I think they're going to be a top three team in the AFC.
All right. I gotta take the Jets to win this division. I want to take Miami, in all honesty, but I can't until I find out that Tua's. I need to watch some preseason games with Tua just before I can even make that real decision.
Yeah, but right now I'm not trusting the Jets offensive line.
No, but I'm not worrying about the offensive line quite yet because you know they're still going to go out. They have enough cap room that they can go out and get another tackle. So, I mean, that's how I'm looking at it. But, all right, let's go to the other side of the East. The NFC East. Now, let's start out with Washington. Their over-under is 6.5.
I think they go over.
I have them projected at 5.25 wins, which means I will be hammering the under, especially after the news that has just came out about the team being a bunch of soft bitches about Bellamy. The enemy. Christian?
I'm going to take the under because they really didn't do anything to improve their team.
No, I mean, did you hear about this news?
What, with Eric B?
Yeah.
Look, this generation of young men is just soft because they want to play for younger coaches because they're closer to their age and, you know, they almost see them as a friend. And, look, when I play for older coaches, you know, so I really kind of developed that old school mindset. And they're just soft.
Oh,
you know,
I'm about
take
to...
all, look. Take off the bra, put on some shoulder pads, and man up.
I'm about to make you laugh. I was trained by a coach that played with Lee Corso.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you want old school.
Yeah, and I mean, look, Eric Bieniemy has come from a winning culture. Because look at what Kansas City's done every year he's been there. They've climbed that ladder continuously.
He's got the rings to show it.
Yeah. And I love how some of his former players are coming to his defense.
Ryan, what do you think? Washington, 6.5.
Under.
Okay. The New York Giants, their over-under is 7.5.
Under.
Under.
I don't trust this projection. I think Vegas is in the same boat as to me with the Giants as in how they are with Buffalo. I have them projected to win 6 games, but with the coaching staff, I can see them winning 9.
I'm taking the over. I think they win 10 games. And
okay.
The reason why I say that is because Saquon's back. Can Saquon stay healthy? Again, he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. And I like some of the weapons that they put around Daniel Jones. You know, they go and get Darren Waller, and they don't need him to be, you know, a Travis Kelce type of a Travis Kelce type of player. You see what I'm saying? Like, they just need him to be serviceable. They got Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee, but they still didn't do enough to address the receiver room, right? Defensively, we know they're going to be great, and they signed their version of Quinnen Williams, Dexter Lawrence, to a contract extension. But when I look at the Giants, I look at that first game of the year. They're playing Dallas on Sunday night at MetLife. To me, that's a bigger game for Dallas, for New York than it is Dallas. And the reason why I say that is because the Giants need to show that they can play up to the caliber of the Eagles and the Cowboys. They were a combined 0-5 last year against them. The Eagles beat them three times, twice in the regular season and once in the playoffs. And Dallas has beat them the last 10 times, if I'm not mistaken, or 9 out of the last 10. And Dak just seems to ascend every time he plays the New York Giants. I'm talking about the level of Aaron Rodgers with the Packers against the Bears and Tom Brady against the Bills. Like, Dak just seems to light up when he plays against the Giants. But, yeah, I think they're going to do enough to win football games, but Dable's going to have to be more innovative because I don't want to see him fall into the Matt Nagy category of running the same type of offense and nothing, and defenses are catching on to it, if that makes sense.
Yep. I get that. I also think that, what is it? The Giants just got drafted that one receiver that's fucking their Tyreek Hill.
Jalin Hyatt.
Hyatt, yeah.
Yeah, from Tennessee. Dude, I just
bro, he is fucking...
Yeah, I remember last year when he torched Alabama for 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. That's going to be interesting. All right, next, Dallas. Their over-under is 10.5. I have the projection of Vegas as 12.5. So they are 2 games over their projected win total.
And this is who now?
The Cowboys.
Fuck the Cowboys under.
Christian, what do you got?
I'm taking the over. I think Dallas, they're going to be a wild card team this year. I like some of the moves that they made in the offseason. It may not be sexy moves, but they did enough to fill some voids. First off, this is my favorite defense in the league because everybody is homegrown, and they have the guy I think that'll win defensive MVP this year, and Micah Parsons. Yeah, I mean, and they're converting him to a full-time defensive end, which I think is going to be lethal. He is the closest thing I've seen. He's a more explosive and more versatile version of Javon Kearse, who played for the Tennessee Titans. You know, a lot of people thought they were, you know, going to either get Jalen Ramsey and Odell Beckham, but they get Stephon Gilmore, who brings championship pedigree to this defense, and he's going to mentor Trayvon Diggs, who signed a contract extension just a couple of weeks ago, last week, if I'm not mistaken. And they got Brandon Cooks, and Dak has never had a wide receiver who can stretch the field to the aspect of Brandon. But here's the thing about the Cowboys. Dak can't throw the ball more than 30 times. This is a team that's at their best when they're running the ball, right? But my thing with Dallas is each week I find myself asking myself this same question. Which Dallas team shows up? You know, I said the same thing last year. Remember when they went into Minnesota and punched Minnesota in the mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Then they dropped the ball. Then they wet the bed against the Green Bay Packers. Just like later in the year, they wet the bed against Washington, but then look at how they punched Tampa Bay in the mouth in the wild card round of the playoffs, right? Dak has the game of his life. That's probably the best I think I've ever seen Dak Prescott look. Then they go to San Francisco, and he throws 2 interceptions. So it all depends on which Dak Prescott shows up.
And Zeke thinks he can play Wildcat.
Yeah, don't get me started.
All right, so you have that. And finally, final team, and we will take this home. The Philadelphia Eagles, their over-under is 11.5. Vegas, I have the projection is 12.5. If they have them, I have the from the odds, they have a game over. And this one I kind of agree with. I think Philly wins this division and does something that hasn't been done in 20 years. Back-to-back East champions, conference champions.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to kind of go against them right now, and they reloaded. You lose Miles Sanders, you get DeAndre Swift. You Jalen Carter pretty much falls to your lap, which I thought was a great move for him because he's going to be mentored by a lot of good guys, and he's going to be around guys that he played with in college. Like, I thought the Eagles won the draft last year, but I just want to see how Jalen Hurts elevates as a quarterback because, again, there's going to be film on him now, right? A.J. Brown came in and gave them the impact that they needed, similar to what T.O. did for them in 2004. You have Devontae Smith. You have Dallas Goedert. Defensively, Brandon, you still have Brandon Graham. You have Fletcher Cox. You're going to bring back Big Jordan Davis, who was your best run stopper. I mean, he improved that run defense significantly. They fixed up their linebacking core. I mean, the Eagles are going to be a tough out once again. I think they won the division as well.
Yep. Ryan? Okay. John?
I sit under.
Okay. All right. And we will cut it off there, and we will do the Central next week. Or Central, the old Central, the North.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how many people remember it being the Central. That's how long ago I'm talking about. Shit. All right. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our show. If you like what you heard, follow us on all social media network. All social media is under the Nerdcore Network. Follow us individually on Twitter at Ethanrani.
At the Zombie Master.
At DailyBlitz_61. My Best in a Business project starts on Sunday next week, starting with number 10, ending with number 6, and then the top 5 will start the following Sunday, which is August 20th.
All right. You can get me at StuntCockSTL or at RynarOfficial.
And join us back here next week as we dive deep into good, bad, and what the fuck with that in the world of sports and sports betting. But until then, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear,
go fuck yourself.
There you go. Tell your enemy. But until then, remind everybody that there's two things in life. One, Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid. And hell, if you don't believe me, well, then that's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night.